This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. And we've attended to Ashes because it is joyful, just like Christmas time. But there's another major news item in Australia right now that is unknown, which is Omicron. Jeremy, it's as unknown here as it is there. But I see from an item you pointed me to that the government was not ready for the overwhelming demand of testing. Are there long lines in Sydney? Are there long lines in Melbourne for testing?
And there are, John. In fact, the long lines are now extending up to 8 hours of waiting time right now. In Sydney especially, if you need to get a test, you have to put aside at least 6 to 8 hours of wait time. In Melbourne, very much the same story. And even if you go to one of our smaller cities, Adelaide, which is in South Australia, they had reported 7.5 hours of waiting time. So there are individuals that turned up at 8 p.m. at night to get their testing, because here in Australia right now, if you want to go interstate, want to go between the states, you need to be tested. People turned up at 8 p.m. at night and were still there at 4:30 a.m. the next morning. So really, John, as you mentioned there, the government misunderstood how much people were going to really try and go out and get tested to travel, and they misunderstood how bad Omicron was going to be and how quickly the cases were going to take. Because on top of the requirements to travel needing the testing, we have had about 6,000 cases a day now in New South Wales alone. So Omicron has really pushed up the cases, and every single one of those people and their close contacts needs to be tested. So add all that together in the Christmas festive season and people traveling, and it's just an absolute nightmare that really is going to continue for at least a couple of weeks, we believe.
I look at a photograph from the Daily Mail Australia of the cars lined up, people very neatly lined up, queuing, right, to get tested. But it looks like even in their cars, I see a photograph of them standing on the street, but even in their cars, they're waiting for hours. And I'm presuming this is going to happen again today here on Boxing Day. So they'll be listening to Ashes or watching Ashes on their mobile phones while they're lining up for testing. But this doesn't include the vaccinations. Is there information about the jab? You know, Britain right now is talking about the fourth jab. Here in the United States, we're talking about the third jab. Are you talking about the third jab in Australia?
Yes, very much so. The third jab is very much on the media's mind, and certainly on the government's mind more so at the moment. And what's happened in this past week is last week the government initially said that anyone who's had the first two jabs can now get the third jab at 5 months instead of six. What's happened now is we can now get the third jab at 4 months, and the government is trying to secure more doses of the COVID vaccine so that people can get that third jab. The fourth jab has been mentioned in passing, but at this point, the government isn't going to commit to any rules or timelines on when that's going to be. But right now for Aussies, we are all being encouraged to get that third jab at the four-month mark, regardless of age.
Has anything changed about your ability to move around in New South Wales or to cross into Victoria or Queensland? Have they changed the rules, Jeremy, in these last days?
No, they haven't changed the rules as such. Effectively, the rules are that we still need to get a test before we travel, a test once we're in the state of destination, and then a test before we come back. But the problem is that the rules stipulated the test had to be done within 72 hours of travel. Now, with all the additional testing, what's happened is that it's taking in excess of 72 hours to get the results back. So a lot of the people who lined up for 8 hours about 4 days ago, they didn't get their test back in time, which meant they had to go back and have tests again, effectively line up for another 8 hours to get the test. And what's happened is a lot of people's Christmas plans have been cancelled just through the sheer fact they couldn't get the test results back in time. So that's caused an added delay and added angst for a lot of people here in Australia.
Yes, the situation in Europe sounds roughly the same. People have cancelled their holiday because they can't be certain they'll be able to get back to Britain because of the rules changing very quickly. You see how many international flights are being cancelled. Here in the United States, we're getting reports all the time of airlines cancelling flights. I'm presuming that's happening in Australia as well. So everybody's dealing with this spontaneously. What is the mood on the television in the news, Jeremy? Are people discouraged, or are they meeting this with the same aplomb that they met the earlier waves?
Very much trying to stay upbeat, John. Right now, effectively, we've got a lot of Christmas programming on television, so it's keeping spirits high. But Aussies are being Aussies. So I know a lot of people who were unable to travel to Queensland from Sydney in the last week because of this testing problem. What they've done is effectively they're all coming together now because we can have those outside gatherings in our own state. We can meet our families and friends inside in relatively large numbers now, so long as we make sure we carry out proper precautions. So as Aussies are getting on with it. We're still having barbies. We're still, you know, drinking our favourite beers. We're still having Christmas celebrations. It's just that people who did want to travel, did want to effectively go and visit families and friends overseas, there is that pall over them that they weren't able to do that. But you know what? We've been doing this for 2 years now. We know that the lockdowns, the travel restrictions are going to hit us continuously. So we're figuring out ways just to keep it fun. And especially Christmas is Christmas, John. Us Aussies, we absolutely love it. So we're just getting on with it.
About Christmas time, you were living with La Nina, and that's been true for weeks now. Once it was confirmed by the meteorologists, that's meant torrents of rain. Has that continued, Jeremy?
That has very much so. In fact, this week again, we had enormous amount of rain come through Sydney, up in Queensland as well. They reported 92 millimetres an hour at one point in southern Queensland, which is absolutely unheard of. While it is a tropical part of the world, normally not to that extent, we're expecting as well that we could get cyclones across the top of Australia, which it's not completely unprecedented because I might remind that back in 1974, we did have a large cyclone called Cyclone Tracy that took Darwin effectively off the face of the map and killed hundreds of people. But in recent times, these weather patterns have not been seen. And what we're seeing in this next coming week as well are expected storms here in Sydney. Down in Melbourne, in Victoria, we're seeing a lot more rain coming across the rural areas. So where you'd be getting, you know, those 40 degrees Celsius, 100 degrees Fahrenheit days and clear weather, we're not getting it. And unfortunately, the ground's not coping well. So you're seeing a lot more flash flooding in rural areas of New South Wales, Queensland and Victoria. And you're seeing a lot of storm damage too. So wind, trees down, power outages and large hailstorms damaging cars and homes. So this is a crazy season, John. It continues to be crazy and it's not letting up.
However, there is Christmas and you guide me to Australian Christmas songs. Jeremy, I had no idea that this was necessary, but you've remade Jingle Bells to fit the fact that it's very hot and it's summertime. Now, I was prepared for clever changes. Snow, for example, is you talk of it as the bush, which is the outback, right?
Yeah.
But for a sleigh, what the heck is a rusty Holden Ute?
Yes, and unfortunately, everyone I know overseas, I have to explain this to, a rusty Holden Ute is one of our most favorite iconic cars we've ever had. It's effectively an old, if you think of a Chrysler, I guess you could say, you know, it's an old sedan or basically the Ute has the tray top in the back, but it's an Australian icon. And you know us Aussies, we like to make everything Australian. So effectively back in especially the 80s and 90s, everybody had a Holden Ute or effectively had a Holden. So it's turned up in our Christmas carol. So if you think of it as a truck in some ways, it's probably the closest thing that you'd see in the US. That's what a Holden Ute is. And you know what? I mean, everything that we do in Australia revolves around our cars generally as well. So it's no surprise that it's also in a lot of our Christmas songs.
Now, the reindeers, do you change them for some exotic animal?
We do. Reindeers are no more. In fact, there's kangaroos in some of our songs. And when I say some of our songs, even each state will change which animals are where. But kangaroos are in effectively, you know, Jingle Bells and 12 Days of Christmas. But in some areas too, you talk about quokkas, which is a smaller form of kangaroo. And quokkas substitute for reindeers. Because let's face it, John, here in Australia with the hot temperatures, reindeers would never survive.
When it comes to the 12 days of Christmas, I expected this, but some of it just is flabbergasting. Okay, turtle doves, geese, French hens, they're not big here in America either. But what is a galla, an emu, and a kookaburra?
Well, I might have to point out it's actually a galage on there. Effectively, It's a white, large parrot-type bird that effectively lives in all of our gum trees. And they're very destructive. They strip all the bark out of our gum trees, but they're a huge part of the Australian landscape. And the kookaburra there as well. The kookaburra is the bird that laughs. If you imagine any Australian movie and you can hear that sort of cackle of a bird in the background in the Australian bush, That's our bird. So we bring in the galahs and the kookaburras, and I believe the lyrebird as well makes an appearance there too. And the lyrebird's effectively an Australian bird that can mimic a lot of sounds, including, you know, other birds and sirens too. They'll mimic sirens. So, you know, we get our lyrebirds, our kookaburras, our galahs. We get them in on the act at Christmas time.
Now we see kangaroos with red Santa Claus hats on. We see someone lounging at the beach in a Santa Claus suit with his bare legs up on a cooler. And we see various crabs and crustaceans all with Santa Claus hats. I see. I'm getting into this. The rolling, once you understand the formula that it's not actually making fun of Christmas, you're localizing it.
That's right. We're Aussifying it, as we do with many things. So an Aussified Christmas is, you know, we're on the beach. We've got our Eskies out there. And you know what? I'd hate to say that I'm perpetuating the stereotype, but honestly, shorts and T-shirts is pretty much how I spend my Christmases. And even though, you know, in Sydney here, I'm a bit more inland, I'm by the swimming pool. Or if I can get out to Bondi, I'm getting out to Bondi. So, you know, we do still wear the red, but normally it's red shorts. And we still do wear the Santa's hat, but we're in our bathing.
A final question, Jeremy, and I will follow up about ashes, but there have been challenges to me when I've explained to them that because of the crisis of the virus, Australia was limiting each person, adult, to 12 bottles of champagne. And the people I tell that to say, what? 12 bottles individually? And I say, as far as I understand, is that number accurate, still accurate, only 12 bottles of champagne?
It is still accurate, John, because being the Christmas period, we haven't got our new supplies in whatsoever, so we can only have 12 bottles. And I might add, too, that once that news broke, people did go and panic buy champagne, of all things. So for once, you could actually buy cartons of beer much more easily in the shops here because, funnily enough, us Aussies thought there was going to be no champagne, so what do? We bought all the champagne.
Is there a timeline here? Is there a container ship out there somewhere headed to Australia with a resupply of champagne?
Well, I did ask this actually at my local Bottle-O, which is our local, I guess you could say, alcohol store here in Australia. And they think it's going to be at least February before the champagne and spirit stocks are back to normal. So, John, we've got another month and a bit probably of having to really ration our alcohol. And as I've mentioned many times before, for an Aussie, this is catastrophic.
I understand that. You know, there's a flotilla of liquefied natural gas ships headed to Europe. Maybe they could divert one of them, fill it with champagne and send it your way. I mean, you've got Omicron ahead of you. We don't know what it's going to mean. Now, Jeremy, 12 bottles for what time period? I mean, from December 1st to January 1st, every day? What is the time period?
Well, it's endearing right now. We don't actually have an end date. So hopefully we'll see in January that lift. But if we don't get a shipment in till February, we could be talking about 12 bottles up until February, unfortunately, while we wouldn't drink them all on one day necessarily. We have Christmas, then we have Australia Day on the 26th, and that's another Aussie holiday, which you can imagine how much drinking occurs there. So we've got some thinking to do about how we ration this.
Jeremy Zakas, heading to Boxing Day's test ashes at Melbourne, which is going to occupy the good people of Australia and the good people of the United Kingdom and all their friends for the next 12 hours. I wish Captain Colgate, Pat Cummins, the best, along with the Aussie team. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.